So Boyd Morrison.
Yep.
Author.
Yes.
Wait, hold up. Do you want to pour him some water?
Oh.
I got you, boss.
Water boy. Hey. You get the water. Because I would be the house Negro.
Master, you're going to get you in trouble.
Black and a half.
Black and a half.
Ready for action, nip it in the bud. Oh, we do the we do it naked. Did we mention that?
Oh yeah. Everybody take your
Well, I knew that
even
part.
Things out, yeah. It's the radio. Why would you
Exactly.
It's like, why would you run an online business and get dressed?
Oh, totally. I would just like, show up in pajama pants.
Well, yeah. If you wanted me to show up in my work clothes, I would have come in a robe
right.
and boxer shorts.
As a cuz you're full-time now as a writer, right?
Yep.
Like nice. And so do you have office hours? Like, do you set yourself like a work day that you're like,
I should, but I don't. It's more about deadlines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I've got a deadline coming up, I'll just be at my computer as much as I can trying to get the book done.
When did you go?
Right now. I was working and I'll probably go back and work right after this.
But your book just released like 2 days ago, right?
Well, The Roswell conspiracy came out in the U.S. in July. It's on Amazon right now. But I had a book come out in England about 2 weeks ago called The Tsunami Countdown, which is the British version of the book here called Rogue Wave, which came out about 2 years ago.
Didn't I see on your site it said being released like November 28th?
Something? Yeah, that was probably Tsunami Countdown.
Tsunami Countdown? Okay.
But Roswell Conspiracy will be free on Amazon this coming Wednesday through Friday.
Oh, check it out.
Why?
Yes. It's a promotion that I'm doing as part of KDP Select because it's self-published.
Uh-huh.
You can make your book free for up to 5 days during a 90-day period.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm doing a giveaway to try to build up my readership.
Oh, get some
there
interest in it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So Boyd Morrison.
Yep.
Author.
Yes.
Actor as well.
Yes.
Are you actively acting?
Not right now, because I try to keep that separate when I'm on deadline, which I am right now. I'm supposed to be turning in a book by February. So during that time, I pretty much am either at my computer or watching football, and that's about it.
What can you tell us anything about the book you're?
It's the fourth book in my Tyler Locke series called The Loch Ness Legacy.
The Loch Ness Legacy.
Nice. Yeah. So he's a kind of a swashbuckling engineer who gets sucked into these archaeological adventures. So in the first book, The Ark, he was searching for Noah's Ark. And in The Vault, he was searching for the tomb of King Midas. And in the Roswell conspiracy, he's trying to find out the truth behind the Roswell incident of 1947.
Ah.
Is that one self-published?
It's self-published here, but it's published by Little Brown everywhere else in the world in English, other than the U.S. and Canada.
So you had something on your site about that. What?
Yeah, I was under contract with Simon & Schuster, who published my first four books within about 18 months. And when I turned in the Roswell conspiracy, I don't know why, but they canceled my contract, even though it was under contract.
Oh, wow.
But Little Brown loved it. And it's also being published by Audible as an audiobook here. It's already out as an audiobook. And it's going to be published by Random House in Germany next year. So Random House and Little Brown and Audible thought it was fine, but Simon & Schuster, for whatever reason, turned it down.
So it's available on Audible right
yeah.
now. You know what? Mm-hmm. We were just going to sign up for that for our website. So actually, we'll have a link on here.
Great.
So that they can click. They can click on right from our website, from this download, to audible.com. They can get a free trial if they haven't had it before. And download your book.
Great.
I thought it was real. I'm not going to remember when we were talking about that. I was like, is he like bringing up real stuff on the book? Like, I thought the Roswell book was
real. He's like,
the Roswell incident is
real.
Well,
yeah, definitely. But I was like, what he's writing, like, because what you're writing, though, is fiction, right? Or is
yes.
it like, okay,
yes. But I weave in a lot of real events
nice.
Into my book. So the Roswell conspiracy also features the Tunguska blast that happened in Siberia in 1908.
Uh-huh.
that leveled a forest the size of London, and we still don't really know how that happened.
It's crazy.
Oh, unless you saw the X-Files.
Yeah.
I saw the X-Files, so I know what happened.
There you go.
Right. Yeah. So I tried to build on that.
Nice.
A fiction around the X-Files truth.
There you go.
Right.
But you have to forgive Manny because I just explained to him Lord of the Rings wasn't real.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because he was like,
I thought it was about
the way, it's the Middle Ages. Like, yeah. No, Middle Earth, there's a difference.
Right, you go down into the earth, and that's where it is.
Exactly.
That was the funniest thing. Is this fiction that he's... I'm like, yeah, you don't write...
Yeah,
I didn't. The autobiography.
I was like, maybe he's been at Area 51 or something. I don't know the whole... But then
don't remember the Orc Wars of 1256?
A little bit. Only bits and pieces, fragments of it.
If it wasn't for Sauron, we'd still be slaves.
Exactly.
You know, here's the thing that fascinated me about learning about your story. Can you... I love your wife. You're married still.
So do I.
Whoa, I know, right?
I love...
Wow, we're getting familiar already.
I love the story you have about the work trade that you and your wife did. Like, I don't know if... Did you get to hear about this, Manny, at all? Like, can you tell how, like, the trade that you, how to became the novelist that you did with your wife? Because this is an awesome story.
Yeah, my wife and I were married for a couple of years when she decided that she wanted to go back to med school. She had an English degree and she got a degree in international relations, but she was really looking for what she wanted to do with her life. And she decided that med school was what she wanted to do, except... because she was an English major in college, she had never taken a college-level science course.
Oh.
So I had written my first book at the time, but it hadn't really had any success getting it published. And so we made a deal, and the deal was I would support her through 9 years of pre-med, med school, and residency. Mm-hmm. And then once she was a full-time doctor, I would get to quit my job and become a full-time writer with the goal of being published within 9 years.
Wow.
And so when she became an attending physician in 2004, I quit my job January of 2005 at Microsoft and started writing full time. And by 2010, I was a published author.
God, see, that is like the dream woman. That's a woman who sees a vision
a
right
deal.
There. Exactly.
Like made a deal. And wait, what were you doing before you quit the job at Microsoft?
I was working in the Xbox games group, doing user testing of video games.
Nice.
Which is not a bad job either.
Right. Yeah. Which part of it was like, she's like, well, he better get a real job. He's playing video games.
Yeah.
At least he can write.
Sounds right. Well, you know, it's the kind of job where, you know, I could be in front of my TV playing a game and she'd come in and ask me to take out the trash. And I'd say, honey, please, can't you see I'm working?
Oh, God. See, that's like the dream woman right there.
Right.
That's what we all need. I just need a sponsor. That's all I need.
Well, all you have to do is put her through 9 years of med school.
Exactly. Right? And then you get a friend with medical benefits. That's just awesome.
It's just such a... I was like, that is a real partnership in a marriage and a relationship to say, like, that you can... That you'll both share in dreams.
Yep.
And to let the other... Because I think there's a lot of people that would have been like, okay, well, I do... You know, now I got this. Now this is a deal, but... You know, what you want to do is a little bit of a fantasy.
Yeah. Well, then... med school, you know, is I knew she was smart, but she had never taken any science classes. So I was like, okay, let's see what happens. And she took chemistry as her first pre-med course. And she came back from the first exam just upset and worried that she just totally blew it. And she got the grade back and she got a 95.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, we're on the course.
There you go.
And, you know, I think you just have to have a long-term vision because 9 years is a long time.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I agreed to that, like, I'm not going to lie, it would be like the eighth year, and then I would start working. I'd be like, I've just been sleeping this whole time. He watches so much porn. No,
Well, I say if the bottom falls out, I still have 4.5 years
there you go.
That I can take off.
That's true.
Why are you stressing me, woman?
That'd be great. Before game testing, you did something else, though, right?
Yeah. My first job out of college, I was a mechanical engineering major in college, and my first job was working at Johnson Space Center on the space station program.
Wow.
I was doing design work on the space station, and while I was there, I got to fly on the Vomit Comet, which was a lot of fun. which is the plane that's used to train astronauts for zero gravity. Oh. And they filmed part of Apollo 13 in there, all the zero gravity scenes in Apollo 13.
Did you throw up at all? Or?
I did not. I did not give it its namesake. But luckily they give you drugs. You have a patch on the side of your neck called scopolamine dexedrine, which is this combination of like super strength Dramamine and like speed.
Wow.
because you know, the anti-nausea medicine makes you really drowsy.
Oh, wow.
So they have to give you some kind of
to bring you
upper
back up
there too. Yeah.
Wow.
And by the time you're done, you are just, you know, spent.
Wow.
But it was fun. Floating in zero gravity is like nothing
else. So how do they even get the thing to do zero gravity? Is it just...
It's a plane. It's actually a KC-135, which is a refitted air refueling tanker.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire interior, all the seats were taken out
because
it's like a Boeing 707 style plane. And except for about 30 seats at the back of the plane. And then the rest of the plane is, the entire interior is covered with foam padding.
Mm.
And the plane flies between 20,000 and 40,000 feet in parabolas.
Oh, wow.
And for 25 seconds out of that parabola, you are zero gravity. Hmm. And then for about 2 minutes in the pullout, you're at about 2x gravity.
Wow.
And that's really where you get sick.
Ooh.
Because if you turn your head really fast, the inner ear doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And about half the people, I flew 3x, and about half the people on every flight got sick.
Man.
But I didn't.
See, you know, and I just get sick on the teacups now. So I know that, like, seriously, like, I am horrible. I can't ride roller coasters like I used to.
Well, I love roller coasters, but I can't do the spinning rides.
Yeah, teacups.
Those are the ones I can't do.
The Gravitron, the one that, I can't do it.
Are you scared of heights?
I don't like heights, but being in a plane doesn't bother me, but standing on a ledge, I can't take that. Although I did go bungee jumping in New Zealand, so I guess I'm not that scared, but I was tied to something, so that helps.
I'm scared of heights.
Have you done bungee jumping?
No.
Yeah.
No. I'm scared of heights. I hate landing in a plane, and I hate taking off.
Mm-hmm. It's like the
but
best
once
part.
I'm there, I'm like, oh no, I'm just so nervous about it. I'm like, every time it goes off, I'm like, the tail's going to hit.
You've seen Final Destination one too many times.
No, I didn't see Final Destination. No, something. Oh, I saw it happened in when I was in like an elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
An airplane at an airport was taken off and it hit the bottom and it crashed. And so that was just like.
Oh, you were there when it happened?
No, I wasn't there. Oh. It was just in the news every day.
Oh, wow.
Because it was the local airport.
Wow.
And it was a airline. It was in Redding, California. And so I was like, ever since then. And I was like, 8 or 9.
That'll
think about that
you.
Every time because I watched it. We had one channel, TV channel that we could watch at the time, and so every day in the air, that's all they showed was like a big crash. I'm like, no. And so every time I'm always like clutching, thinking.
Well, they have tail strikes a lot, and I mean not a lot, but
terrified him. He's never gonna fly again.
When they have tail strikes now, they almost never crash.
Wait, they do actually hit now?
Sometimes, but it's rare.
Like commercial planes?
I've heard of it, but it's not enough usually to send the airplane.
So my fear is justified. It is actually hitting. I was like...
Sometimes it can.
Now it's so reinforced, though, I don't think it'll... Yeah, you're fine.
But you still got to fly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what are you going to do if you make it?
Train.
Train.
Really?
Like Aretha Franklin. It'll be like the bus.
We don't live in Europe. You're going to go to New York on a train?
I believe Obama promised us trains everywhere, right?
That's what I heard.
Right. It'll happen if you plan to live by 2162.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be good.
There's so you
if we can fake a moon landing, I think we can get
trains. What are your thoughts? You think we faked it?
No.
No? I don't know. Mythbusters
definitively
did they?
Dispelled all of those rumors.
Oh, okay.
Are you a conspiracy theorist at all?
No.
Did anything draw you to writing about in the Roswell? What was the draw about Roswell, or was that just the evolution of the character?
Well, for the whole series, I like to put a scientific spin on legends that we might think are mythical or magical.
Mm-hmm.
So for Roswell, I wanted to present an alternative theory for why that happened. And the same for the Ark and the Vault. I I'd try to turn conventional wisdom on its head, and maybe Noah's Ark wasn't really what we thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And same for the Midas Touch. Maybe the Midas Touch really exists, but there's a scientific explanation for it.
Wow.
That's sort of X-Files-ish. Right?
That is. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah. They always pin it on aliens or telepathy
scientific.
Or something.
Did you hear about the other Earth they found?
Yeah. It's like, it's bigger though, right?
This is Super Earth?
Yeah,
right?
Super Earth.
Super Earth?
Well, they found some Earth-sized planets.
But like, they found one in the one that's it's only like 40 light years
away,
a big Earth, and they're like, it could totally.
You know, here's another thing. They also just recently were theorizing that they could make us go faster than the speed of light by like creating some sort of like donut-like sphere around like a plane, like, I don't know, kind of horizontally. And
donuts.
Yeah, exactly right. And so, but I mean, they said it's plausible. I mean, but to make it happen.
Well, everything is.
Well, I mean, yeah. So,
theoretically,
I mean, theoretically, they're trying to make it happen. So they're testing it on a smaller
scale.
That
would be cool.
So, yeah, who knows?
They've been testing transporters on a small scale.
I wonder who's going to be the first person to just say, all right, I'm going for it, Larry. Just
yeah. Who's going to volunteer to get
exactly.
in
there? He's like, I made it. Wait, where's my penis?
Right. The rat looks okay.
Yeah, exactly.
They've successfully transported, like, molecules or something. I'm not sure. Like,
they've transported information.
Wow.
So they can change the, like, the bit state or something on electron or something.
From one location to another?
It changes from one place to the other.
You know what? After I saw the movie Fly, I will never.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, remember? Did you
the fly.
The Fly.
The Fly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you thought I was talking about like Superfly or something.
Fly. Yeah.
That's the sequel, right?
Exactly.
Jab, turkeys turn me into a fly.
Well, so, like, I'm just thinking if you're an okay, you tell me like, oh, they can do information from there.
Mm-hmm.
The molder in me wants to say, well, really, if you think about it, all humans are is filled of information.
Yeah.
And you're going to transfer that. You got to expand your mind, Scully.
It's interesting, right? What they said that they were also theorizing that we could possibly be in a computer simulation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Matrix, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah, no idea.
Oh, yeah. You know what? If this was a simulation, I'd make my life a lot easier.
Yeah, a lot better.
Like, really? This is the best I can
come
up with?
Maybe it's my simulation.
Oh. There you go. All right, exactly.
Yeah, everybody else.
Boyd's living the life right now. That's why I'm out of shape and not really feeling. Yeah.
I read about that. Like, we're all in a computer simulation. Like, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, how... All these things you could never really know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably not true, but, you know, it's possible.
There's also the multidimensional theory and all kind. There's all kind of stuff out there.
I love. Were you a science fiction fan at all?
Oh, yeah.
Or were you just
time.
Always a debunker?
Like, no. I'm a big science fiction fan.
What were your
when I was younger, I read all the classics, Isaac Asimov and Heinlein and... Arthur C. Clarke and Larry Niven and Harry Harrison, you know, the classic 50s, 60s, 70s guys. And I haven't read a lot of newer science fiction because it's gone really cyberpunk kind of stuff, which is as interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody handed me one of those.
I like
those
the
ones.
Space stuff.
Yeah.
Which
it
was just moving to more movies and video games, mm-hmm. you know, Halo and
Mass Effect.
I was working at this architecture firm and people knew I like science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was riding the bus all the time, so I was reading a lot. And somebody brought in, like, oh, here's a book I love. And they gave it to me. And the technobabble in it, like, I got, I think, 10 pages into it and I brought it back the next day. And so I cannot,
what was it?
I have no idea. I tried to block it out, but it was this. Yeah, it was super.
It was
like
super hard sci-fi, like really.
Yeah, it was
scientific.
Like what you're saying, punk
cyberpunk
kind of. That made me think of it. And like, no, I like Vulcans and stuff.
Yeah,
I want spaceships in my sci-fi.
Right,
something.
Right, so when things exploding.
This sounds almost real and just hostile in the future.
Spaceships fighting each other, lightsabers. And
like science fiction in the 40s almost could even have been what we do today.
Yeah.
That's an awful story.
Well, look at all the...
Who wants to hear about...
But look at all the stuff from the original Star Trek. You know, communicators are bigger than our cell phones now.
Yeah.
That's weird. I actually thought about that they're bigger than...
Yeah.
I do
working on a tricorder.
They need one.
Yeah.
Deep Space Nine, I always remembered, that was the first time you saw somebody reading a lot. Was it Ben Siskel or his kid? One of them was always reading. I think it was the kid. Yeah. He wanted to be a reporter, and he always had like a little handheld device.
Yeah, a little iPad.
And it was like they'd get these books, and they would show up on an iPad. And it was like,
there you go.
Like, you know, that's wild.
It was funny. I was thinking about that, right? And you guys remember Inspector Gadget? Remember how Penny had the notebook? That's where I thought iPad stole it.
I did not remember that.
I don't know. Yeah, she had this like notebook that she would do everything and save Inspector Gadget. All right, that was my nerd moment for. All right,
cool. We only get one.
Yeah. Well.
What was it? I remember somebody was suing. Were they suing Apple for stealing their idea for the iPad?
Apple and Samsung were suing each other.
Oh, for like the design and it was on Star
Rounded
Trek.
Edges.
How are you gonna?
Yeah.
Ours is round.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
That's
really?
What they're suing for design kind of stuff.
So did you? Manny didn't read. Still doesn't. Did you
ever on what? Tape? I'll listen to it. I read.
What sci-fi movies were your?
I grew up with Star Wars and Star Trek. I've probably seen every hour of Star Trek ever broadcast.
Wow!
Of all series,
all the movies.
What was your favorite Trek?
I think Next Generation.
Boom. Yeah. Yes, there you go.
Although it's fun to go back and see the original. I mean, Kirk is just awesome.
Yeah.
He gets to do all the cool stuff. There's never been anybody as cool as Kirk.
Exactly.
Yeah. What was the worst?
The worst Enterprise.
Yeah.
If nothing more than for the theme song, which was awful. I don't know why they went that way.
Every week it came on, I would just sing it. Full on out.
Really?
For the irritation of my ex.
Nice.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, what a cheesy song.
What's your favorite?
Maybe that's why she's your ex.
Yeah, might be.
Yeah. What's your favorite theme song to any TV show ever?
You know what? Greatest American Hero. Still think about that song.
Really?
Remember that?
Wait, what's that? I'm trying to think. Sing it.
Look at what's happened to me.
Is that the walking on air?
I can't believe it. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, what's mine? Who's the Boss? I like that. I don't know why.
Who's the Boss?
With Tony Danza. Remember, there were times I lost a friend or two. Never mind. And so it's
really?
Like sliding.
Is that how it goes?
No, it was just
you're
like
doing it like all Luther Vandross.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's the version you heard.
The black version.
Do
of
they even
song.
Say who's the boss in the theme song?
No. It's just
weird.
Maybe they thought they might recast it.
There. Yeah. Exactly. Hey, Samantha.
I don't know what my favorite theme song is. I like the Star Trek theme song just because it gets you in the mood for the adventure.
Put you in the mood. That's right, ladies.
Yes.
Greatest American Hero is also my biggest. I'm like, I can't believe they didn't keep that going. I love that show.
Yeah.
I would love them to remake that and start doing it again.
I think Nathan Fillion recently said he would love to play the new Greatest American Hero.
That would be terrific.
Well, on the topic
Mike Coletta, wouldn't he? Did you remember The Greatest American Hero?
I don't know what you're talking about
hair?
At all. No.
Michael is like a brown-haired, chubby teacher.
Mike is very in shape. Not at all.
I don't know. He's not chubby.
Well, there's actually a Star Trek movie coming out next year.
Yeah.
Right? So, gosh, what are you guys thinking about that? The first one was great, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Was it too action-y for you?
No, I love that part. It made you forget about all the plot holes.
Yeah.
Which was, really good. You know, as an author, I think about all those plot holes. You know, they abandoned Kirk on this planet, and he just happened to be within running distance of Spock on an entire planet.
Right.
Just happens to be put.
That's not a hole. That's a coincidence.
Okay, coincidence.
Movies are filled.
It's crazy. I mean, like, you've probably got to dissect everything now. Just like any movie you watch, you're like, is that?
Yeah, there are some movies that I think are really well thought out and put together. Like, Aliens, Shawshank Redemption
was
really well done. The original Die Hard.
Oh, the original
Die
Hard.
They got another
Die
Hard coming out. You see the preview for that?
February.
Yeah.
Yep.
His son's in it.
Wait, is Bruce Willis in it?
Yeah.
Well, I heard the last Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
I just found this out recently. It wasn't originally a Die Hard movie.
Really?
Yeah, it was some other movie,
mm-hmm.
and then they said, let's just call it Die Hard and put it in. Let's put Bruce Willis in it.
Yeah.
Or something. And so they changed it. And that's why he's suddenly like this super cop. Like how he's like can fly helicopters now and can do all this stuff when he was just a cop before. Yeah. So like that's why it's such an off the wall movie, not even seeming like the rest, is that it wasn't intended to be a Die Hard movie.
You know, it's interesting. They're revamping everything from the '80s. They have a Beverly Hills Cop TV show coming out now and
do they? Yeah. Oh yeah, so I saw that.
Really?
And Eddie Murphy's gonna play small
forget
pieces.
Who the
Brandon T. Jackson from he was in that movie. Gosh, he had like horse legs or something. He played like a
what?
Horse leg. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever he was. Gosh, it's gonna bother me. Percy Jackson and the
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he was in Big Mama's House. Whatever. I didn't see.
I don't watch Big Mama's House.
Yeah, I don't watch Tyler Perry.
I didn't see the first one.
Did you? There you go. Well, he's in one.
Martin, right?
Yeah,
Martin
Lawrence. Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, so Brandon T. Jackson's on everything now. He's, I don't know, kind of blown up in L.A. So,
is he?
Yeah. But he's going to be in the new lead in, like, I guess, Beverly Hills Cop, the TV show.
Yeah. That's...
21 Jump Street and everything.
They remake everything these days.
Well, but then in the 80s, I wonder, were they making a lot of remakes of the 60s movies?
Probably. I mean,
90s, I think they were a lot more original.
They were trying to be original until now they're like...
Or they were twists on stuff that had been, like Indiana Jones was from the serials of the, you know, 1930s and 40s.
Yeah.
But it was an entirely new
character
and plot.
God, you gotta love Indy though, man. He was just always so, I don't know.
Until the last one.
Yeah, exactly. The Crystal Skull. What did you think of that one?
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
No, I kept meaning to, and then I'm like, oh, waiting, and then and I was like, oh, I got to see it before I get a spoiler.
Now, that's
and then
based
all the spoilers
on some,
happened to me. So
yeah.
Like,
that's based on some truth, right? I mean, there's like these little skulls around the world.
There are crystal skulls.
Crystal skulls, but I'm not saying that there's a...
You're going to have to beat him up someday. I'm like, really? Like, watching, like, it's true, right?
It's not exactly true.
Like Star Wars, I mean, it's not like real, but it's based on something, right?
A long time ago.
They're making a lightsaber now, aren't they?
They're working on it. They got hoverboards now. You guys know about this?
Lightsabers actually is the one thing that I do have a problem with.
Yeah.
The
burn off your hand.
No, what bugs me about it is how they go through everything that you want it to.
Right.
But then, like, if it hit a wall, it wouldn't just keep going and going. Like, the lightsabers shouldn't just, like, if it cuts through everything, it should cut through everything, right?
What didn't it cut through?
I'm trying to remember, like.
Are you saying in episode one when they put it through that wall and then it finally, like,
disintegrated. Yeah, melted the whole wall.
Did it? Wall.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of it. Like,
melted
the
steel.
Yeah, that steel door
vault
that was holding. Yeah. Step your Star Wars
game up. I don't have a. I had an example once. I was like, lightsabers.
Lightsabers have changed over the years, though, because originally Lucas wanted them to be really heavy, right? To where you couldn't. You had to swing them like.
He wanted a broadsword, maybe?
Yeah, pretty much. And then all of a sudden you go to the new episodes and now.
Yoda?
Yeah,
exactly.
They're flipping around.
Yeah, so.
Oh, no. It was always in Lucas's plan to be a lightweight sword, I'm sure. But, you know, he just didn't have the technology at the time for it to be lightweight.
True. Right. So, and now he's going to go back and redo the original Star Wars with lighter lightsabers.
And I hate
more
that,
Jar Jar.
Man. He's like an abusive father.
Yeah.
Like, you loved him, and then you grow up and you realize, you beat me.
Has he lost all, like...
Integrity?
Well, pretty much. I mean,
Selling off everything.
Yeah. I mean, so he doesn't have any creative power over it now, or what's the...
I don't think so.
No, he's supposed to be a consultant, which hopefully that means...
Which is
good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because somebody else can say, no, that's a bad idea. We should do it.
Exactly.
Out of the bubble. There's the Lucas bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs to get out of the bubble. Yeah. That's why I'm asking people in comedy lately, like, why... Like, I was asking, hey, what night... Here's a good question for you. If you say, hey, it's a comedy show, come see it. Are you more likely to go if it's a Friday night or a Saturday night?
One of those two?
Yeah.
Probably Saturday.
That's what I would
think. Now, why?
Well, it doesn't really matter because every day is the same. You know, weekend, weekday, it doesn't really matter. But for a lot of people, like if I wanted to get a group together, it would be a lot easier to get them to, instead of coming directly from work. To plan, you know, we could go out to dinner before and then go to the show.
So
and,
for a group event.
Yeah.
Definitely. What about date night? Is date night easier on a Friday, I think, or a Saturday?
Considering I haven't dated in about 22 years.
You got to date your wife.
Yeah.
Let me give you advice because I've been married.
Yeah. I do that, but, you know, it's...
Do you guys don't have date night out?
But again, her schedule is so...
Oh, she's
a yeah. She works 7 days on, 7 days off.
Oh, wow.
You know, she works from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or usually later. Wait, so, you know, we can't do anything on our work nights at all.
She gets 7 days off in a row?
Damn.
Yeah. Wow. But she, well.
So your wife is home for 7 days?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Is that bad?
And that is a strong marriage.
Yeah, that is a very strong marriage.
Holy crap.
Would you feel like we see each other a lot? No, but I'm working.
So do you not see her the weeks that she's 7 days on? Is she pretty much gone?
Yeah, she comes home at 8 or 9 at night and eats dinner and goes to bed.
That might be a good payoff.
Yeah. Oh. I just want to be a stay-at-home dad. That's all I want to do. Yeah. Dream job. No. Comedy. That'll be fun. If it ever happens, huh?
Well, yeah. But comedy, you'll have to, if you're stand-up, you have to tour all the time.
Yeah, right? You got to be on the road all the time, so it's tough.
Not a lot of staying at home.
Not a lot of staying at home. I mean, I guess you kind of work with it. If you're out like Chappelle making $100,000 a show or $100,000 a weekend, then that's completely different. You don't have to stay that relevant, but I feel like when you're first starting out.
Well, you can also fly out then.
True.
Like, you don't. Well, okay.
Yeah, or but to get it. To that point, I mean, Chappelle worked for 10 years on stand-up. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried stand-up when I was about 23.
Nice.
And did it for a couple of months. And it was fun, but, man, a lot of those people are really cynical. And
where'd you do it?
Houston.
Oh, Houston. There you go.
Yeah, it was the early 90s when stand-up
you could have made money
huge.
Then, actually.
Yeah, it was everywhere.
People were owning houses then. Like, they would buy houses with their stand-up money.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
But it was still hard to break in.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to spend, you know, every night in these really smoky clubs back then. And,
that would have driven me away, honestly, that smoke.
Yeah, and
back
that was one of the reasons I stopped, because I'd come home every night, and I have to immediately take a shower and throw my clothes in another room because they're so smoky. Ugh. And the people, the comics there were not really happy people.
Not at all. No, like, who was it?
Angry people.
Like, Patrice O'Neill, you know, God rest his soul, he was, like, one of the greatest comics, but they said that he was just miserable a lot of times, just, like, upset. You'd be sitting in the green room pissed, and then you'd go on stage and make everybody laugh.
Well, think of Louis Black or somebody.
Yeah,
exactly. He's probably perpetually... I just saw him in Vegas a few weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
He was funny, but he must be mad all the time.
Exactly.
Actually, I watched an interview on him, or a documentary. There's one on Netflix about him, following him doing his tour.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a rather calm guy.
Is he?
It's just on stage he started doing this thing where he'd get upset.
Yeah.
You know, and he gets upset, but he's actually not, like, volatile off stage. He's just like, this is irritating. And he just, like, gets it all out on stage, but he's actually rather calm. Like, hey, let's do this.
Yeah.
But he got those big reactions when he would get worked up about stuff. So it kind of kept it going.
Exactly.
All the people, it seemed, not all of them, but a lot of comics, from my perception, this might not be true, but a lot of them are actually seem rather positive, like, about the ones who've made it, like, in big. They're very supportive of other comics.
Wait, are you talking about, like, people that are in L.A. and successful now, or are you talking about people who are in Seattle and are somewhere?
No. Successful people. Okay, not local. I was listening to Jimmy Kimmel interview the other day, and he said he was on The Nerdist, and he said one of the things that drew him to Sarah Silverman is she was one of the few people he knew and met that when one of her friends would make it big, she'd be so genuinely happy for them.
That's awesome.
She'd be really just pleased. And he's like, okay, but really you're angry, right? Like, she's like, no, it's great. You know, it's great. Because, you know, she had all these friends that were making success before her, but she was very happy for them. And he's like, that actually seems really rare here.
Yeah,
and
that's so
he liked that. And, he liked that tour, and that was a big draw. And then you hear people like Jimmy Kimmel, who's really supportive of everyone he knows. And,
yeah, he just seems like a happy guy.
Yeah, all these comics are like trying to like help each other out and bring it up, and they're not the mess. I really feel like that cynicism is what keeps so many people back.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah. None of the people that I knew back then ever made it big.
Yeah.
So maybe that was an indication.
I've had a few. There's been a few people that have been a little inspirational as far as not feeling like you have to maybe not do the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Hari Kondabolu.
I'm going to edit this. I'm going to edit this just to say Hari.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, like Hari?
Yeah.
Okay. Love edit.
Is he local?
Love
local?
Well, he started out, what was he, local? No, he's from...
Well, he's from Seattle. Yeah, I don't know. He says New York for the credit.
Probably.
I don't know. But
sounds better.
Yeah, but then he kind of came into being a comic in Seattle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he moved to here and ended up doing learning comedy and doing it here.
Yeah, the guy's hilarious.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah. And he happened to be on a Bumbershoot festival show because somebody called in sick. Someone got sick, and so he filled in.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody saw him there, and that's where they submitted the tape to Letterman or was it a...
Oh, yeah, it was something big like that. But yeah,
And so that got him... Oh, that got his Comedy Central
gig.
Mm. And so then, he's been able to skip the touring process involved in.
That's the big thing is working smarter, not harder.
Yeah. You know, or you could try doing improv or sketch comedy.
That's what, we have a few things in the bag that we're working on. So it's just like, try not to have to do all those road gigs and, spend all that time.
Yeah, the road can make you bitter. I mean, can make you a good comic, but it's also like you can get stuck on the road and you're a road comic, not a... What are you doing?
Nothing. I was just...
Keep the crack down.
I was going to actually check something real quick on Google.
My phone!
So attached to our phones nowadays.
If you were an actor in L.A., before cell phones, before people had a lot of cell phones, people would stay at their house waiting for the call.
Wow. Yeah.
They're like, I gotta be by my house to get a call.
Mm-hmm.
And so like then suddenly you had an advantage if you had a pager or a cell phone because you could call back before they filled the gig.
Yeah.
And now, but now they'll send out like just a mass email.
Right.
And people like, first person to respond. So I know that happens with comedy that people have been like, they're the first one to get back by email.
Yeah.
So people will have their phone on all the time. And I do that for Facebook. I have Facebook up all the time at work because I need to see if a gig pops up. Because they'll post it and they'll be gone fast.
Yeah.
Like if you wait till the night, you'll never get booked on stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Like even how you were saying Hari showed up for that, that gig just this week. What, you ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? You ever seen that with Larry David?
I haven't, no.
Oh, okay. There's a guy on there. His name is J.B. Smooth. He plays a character named Leon, and he was at the parlor. And,
yeah, I think I know the actor.
Yeah, yeah. And so he was performing, and Ralph Porter didn't show up, so they were like, hey, Manny, you're on. And, it's like you get a chance to meet some of these guys just because you're there. It's what do they call it when opportunity meets? I forget. I messed up that quote. Anyways, yeah.
I know what you're thinking of.
Preparation
is when opportunity meets luck or something.
Yeah, or luck is when
opportunity meets preparation.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
There you go.
What is it? Say it clear.
I don't even want to try
luck
to say
is
it
when opportunity meets preparation.
Exactly. Nice. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, he had been doing gigs, and when the time came that where they needed somebody to jump in right away,
exactly.
He did it, and somebody saw him, and a lot of people would say, "Wow, he was lucky that he got that."
But exactly.
He was ready to go.
Yeah.
He had been honing his.
So what about you, Boyd? Like, have you ever had somebody in the author world make it, and you're like, did that son of a bitch really just make it? He can't even put a sentence together.
No, I not any of my. I mean, I'm happy when my friends make it.
Yeah.
And there are some that you go, really?
Yeah.
Like the E.L. James 50 Shades of Grey kind of thing that just came out of nobody saw that coming.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, I do not know how this works.
Oh man, women love it though. They eat that crap up. It's ridiculous.
Twilight,
yeah, that was another one. Harry Potter. No, I'm just kidding. Harry Potter was.
Well, Harry Potter was turned down by 25 publishers.
Isn't that crazy? And now she's what? Was she really like homeless almost when she was writing that?
Yeah, she was on welfare. And
wow.
When she was writing the book and had a kid.
Wow.
And divorced. And she was just
writing
single?
In
coffee shop. Nah, she's married now. Sorry. She could adopt you. Maybe.
There you go. All right. Be my sponsor. That'd be great.
If you're listening to this, J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling.
Manny Martin will... Be either be your lover or be adopted by you.
Exactly. Whatever you want, I will make it happen.
One of the two. I met Boyd a long time ago from doing acting.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I wasn't acting. I was just on a board of a play. Is acting some hobby thing for you, or is it something that you would like to pursue it?
Someday I'd like to look more into doing it professionally. I mean, I've gotten for a while. I was being paid more for acting than I was for writing.
Wow.
Because I had a talent agent in town and booked a few gigs and photo shoots and did a few commercials. And I'd love to do it. And I love acting, and it'd be great to get paid for it. So yeah, I'll keep doing it. I just don't know necessarily in what capacity.
So if acting were to hit the next level, could you see your, would you want to do like movies, plays, TV? Or
I think TV would be my preference, because you can really delve, if you book a series, you can really delve into a character over a long period. My ultimate would be to do a sitcom.
Oh, that'd be
with a live audience.
Oh, that'd be
because
fun.
I love doing stage work. Mm-hmm. But you know, with TV, you'd have the live audience there to get that immediate feedback.
Yeah,
if you know what you're doing is working, but you also get a retake if you screw it up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whereas in theater, you know, you just keep going, and that's happened plenty to me too. We did a show this year where one of the actors missed her entrance.
Ooh.
And I was on stage for about 3 minutes waiting for her to come on because she was in the wrong clothes and had to go change.
But
when I was on stage, I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know if she was dead or had left the theater or was just twiddling her thumbs backstage. I had no idea. So I just had to fill the space with whatever I could.
And was it a comedy?
Yes.
Well, that's
luckily, my character was already frantic at that point, so I could kind of play into that.
There you go. But 3 minutes
could
is a
the audience
long
tell?
Time.
No, nobody.
Really?
I don't think anybody said anything afterwards. A lot of times when we know we screwed up, almost nobody in the audience can tell.
Exactly.
But, you know, you just have to roll with it sometimes. I did a show called Barefoot in the Park about 5 or 6 years ago, and I don't know if you know the movie or the play, but the whole first act, we're in this apartment that has all kinds of things wrong with it and has a leaky roof. And so there's this huge stepladder, like 12-foot ladder in there set up. And, you know, I climb it and sit on it and stuff. And about 30 seconds before I go on with my first entrance, the show was already going. And the stage manager comes up to me and says, we forgot to put the ladder on stage, so you just have to work with that. So I had to just go on and change all my blocking on the fly.
Right.
And pretend like the ladder was never supposed to be there.
Man.
Yeah.
So you
definitely have to think on your feet.
Huh? Yeah. That is something. Silas, whenever you see a ladder, don't you just want to get in a ladder match and just like old school wrestling style?
See, I stopped watching wrestling when the ladder things started.
You missed the best part of wrestling.
Bust a ladder over somebody's head?
Well, they would bust somebody with a ladder, but the object of the ladder match was to like pull a championship belt down from like basically the rafters and like before the other guy did. So it was just they did everything
I
from jump
never
off
heard
the,
of that.
Yeah, it was crazy. If you
that,
ever
that sounds extremely safe.
But yeah, exactly, right? Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon. That was the first time we saw it, and yeah, people were. I was like, somebody's gonna die, and this is horrible.
Well,
but
now the I did watch the tables, ladders, and chairs matches.
Oh, those were insane, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is basically a ladder match. They just add in tables and chairs.
And people they add spikes? And
there's a few guys that do that. It's,
that old wrestling, ECW. But before that, there was actually the NWA.
Mm-hmm.
Had, they would do barbed wire matches and stuff. Like the barbed wire around the ring and
these guys are just
stuff.
Like, I don't know how you do that. That's an industry that I could never, you know, I was like growing up, I was like, I'm going to be a tag team champion or, you know, a WWF champion. And then you see what these guys go through and they're what their bodies through and they end up dying. And you're like, I don't know if this is.
Yeah. Well, one of my recurring characters in my series is a former pro wrestler.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yeah. And he left the business to go join the army after 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And so he's kind of modeled after Pat Tillman,
right,
the NFL player who left. And then he comes back, and he's the best friend of the main character.
Nice.
And he's also a electrical engineer, so he that's what his major was in college. So he and the other guy who is a mechanical engineer, they a lot of times use their wits to get out of the situations instead of just. But they also were combat veterans. So
I
want to
see this
weapons
turned into a movie.
Yeah, like, that would be fun.
Like, if so, I'm trying to think. If somebody came up to you and were like, "Hey, we're gonna turn this into a movie," like, what do you think the next steps would be from there? I mean, would you have creative direction over it, or probably
no.
not?
No, most authors, they just sell the rights and they go make or don't make whatever movie they want.
Yeah.
Although my one condition is that I get a speaking role in the movie.
There you go. That would be awesome.
Even if it's one of the bad guys who gets killed off in the first scene, As long as I say something.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's the only
Did condition. I tell you about my roommate?
Uh-huh.
This is... My old roommate from college.
Mm-hmm.
How to phrase it. Okay. He shows up in every friggin' thing I watch now.
Serious?
As like he's an extra, or he's in the new show Revolution. He was in the first episode.
Wow.
He pulled the gun and said, "Freeze!" or something, and then they shot him.
Hey, that's not an extra role. He's got a SAG card now.
Oh, he's had a SAG card for a while. Okay. He was in JAG a lot as a recurring, not as a recurring character. He would just be a guy walking through like a soldier. I was starting to call him like super extra because he was showing up at all. He was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Wow.
He was on Enterprise. Mm-hmm. And I'd see these, I'm like.
Is he like trying to like actually break into acting, or does he just want to do the extra work?
No, he wants to be a lead actor.
Sounds like he's been doing it a while, though.
He has been doing it a while.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's the advice to somebody who's like really trying to make it? I mean, you just got to audition for the big roles.
He's doing what he needs to do. Just keep auditioning.
Yeah. First of all, you focus on the acting itself, because I think the people who really make it are the ones who are serious about the craft.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are, try to go down and be on a reality show and break in that way.
Yeah,
almost none of them are going to end up making it, because they're focusing on the fame and the money side instead of, it's like with writing. If you focus on churning out good stories, eventually. Mm-hmm. You'll make it.
Yeah.
And the same with acting. I think if you're a good actor, you'll eventually
rise
find your niche, whatever that is. I think even for older actors, because I think about that as if I wanted to break in now, the people who started late, like John Mahoney from Frasier, he's got that kind of crotchety older authoritarian figure kind of thing, and that's what he does. That's how he got Frasier, and he's played a lot of generals and official types, and then Morgan Freeman started as kind of the wise sage, who gave advice and had that deep voice, and that he's worked that to the hilt, and that's his persona.
After Shawshank, he was just on fire. It just seemed like everything.
Before Shawshank.
Oh, yeah. He was that in Glory.
Well, yeah, very true. Yeah. But, Boyd, I feel like you could play, a 20-year-old and, make that work. I don't know. What would you say, 25?
Okay, another thing about acting, I think what holds people back is not accepting who they are.
Yeah.
And what they are.
Yeah.
And you have to go in there. I needed to know. And I knew. I was, maybe that's why I didn't go. I knew I wasn't going to be a leading man ever.
Well, no. I'm just
but ever. But I was going to be those. I could be the quirky neighbor or whatnot. Like the support. I'm not a lead material in a standard traditional movie, maybe in an offbeat.
But I think you could have a great career in. Look at Philip Seymour Hoffman or John C. Reilly. Yeah. You don't think of them as typical leading men, but they're. Mm-hmm. Huge stars now because they're good actors.
Right. But they also needed to become he became Seymour Hoffman before he got
I feel like acting's changed so much.
Can't be really awkward looking and be the lead unless you were well known.
But I don't think anybody can be the lead. Very rare that you start out getting the lead.
It's Twilight.
Even the guy Robert Pattinson was in Harry Potter and small roles. And I'm sure he did other small roles before that.
Exactly.
We just don't know about them.
We can flip.
Who was the guy with the thing over his eye? He's black, and he played Ghost Dog, Samurai, whatever, Ninja.
What?
Forest Whitaker. He's lead role. He doesn't look he should be.
He was a prisoner.
He won an Oscar.
Exactly.
He played a lot of homeless junkies before he...
But he kind of plays the offbeat kind of, in his own world
true.
Character.
Even Sam Jackson wasn't.
I guess what I'm saying, when I was in my 20s, a lot of those roles are also for people that are also older, which is good. I knew going in, if I'm going to be, I'm never going to be a Romeo. I'll never get cast in a Romeo. That's not really what I.
There's a lot of females that have. No, I don't know.
But I think, you see these people who are, they're comfortable as the character actor that they are.
Right.
And they're understanding that. And I feel like there are a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Who don't accept what their lot in life might be.
Mm-hmm.
That because they're still auditioning for 22-year-olds, yeah, and they're 38. Yeah, and you're like, you're not black.
No, yeah, so I want to play a role that's appropriate for me, and you know, I get cast as the straight man a lot because I'm just, you know, the normal,
right?
You know, the kind of the voice of reason kind of guy.
And as we're silent, that's probably what I would cast as like the gay guy a lot,
right?
You know, just so
exactly.
I don't, as I long as you accept,
I do not
that.
Have a good enough body to be the gay guy.
You'd be yeah, the,
that's
the
true.
Stay
you
at home,
be pretty ripped.
Yeah, stay at home gay wife or something.
Yeah. Just, baby.
Yeah, I think the ones who find their niche do really well, yeah, whatever that niche is. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's I read a book that there's 8 sitcom characters, mm-hmm, and that's it.
Wow.
By an acting coach named Scott Sedita, and mm-hmm, basically there's the smart logical one, mm-hmm, the neurotic one, mm-hmm, the dumb one, the materialistic one, the womanizer or manizer, the bitch or bastard,
mm-hmm,
and the in his own world, mm-hmm, you know, kind of like,
yeah,
you know, Phoebe Buffay kind of.
I was just thinking that, friends. I was like, you just named, yeah, Ross Geller, what Phoebe,
and then the lovable loser.
Joey.
Joey's the dumb one.
The dumb one, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can find Chandler. Chandler's the lovable loser.
Yeah, yeah.
Rachel's the materialistic one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ross and Monica are the neurotic ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If you look at any sitcom, after I read that, I was like, oh my God, that's so true. And every single sitcom, you can see that.
It's funny, there's such a formula to it. I mean, even if you're probably looking at Trek, I mean, there's always.
At what?
Star Trek. I mean,
oh, Trek.
Yeah.
It's like Shrek?
No, not Shrek.
It's not a sitcom. Jeez.
It probably will be someday.
Yeah, probably, huh?
It's already musical, so.
Yeah.
Did you play the lotto?
No.
Powerball?
I did.
No, I took too many statistics in grad school to ever play because I know that the odds
You're
are...
trying to be an author.
That's
based
totally
on some
luck.
Skill.
That yeah, there's yeah. some skill involved. I Fair. The only gambling I might do is poker, because there is some skill
some
at
of...
reading people's behaviors, mm-hmm, in helping you win. But everything else is the odds are completely against you.
Well, I got a new joke out of this because somebody said that they said they're like, well, the odds of winning are so low, and I said, I just got married for my second time. Clearly, I don't pay attention to statistics. Like, I'm not going to go with it. I don't know. For me, the $2 dream is just so worth it.
Yeah.
I am in love for 2 days.
Yeah.
I get to go,
yeah,
oh my gosh.
This is what I would
be,
do.
It'll be fun. Da-da. And then, you know, there's always the self-hate afterwards.
Yeah.
But,
I feel like, but the people who go out and buy $450 worth of tickets, it's just crazy. I mean, I heard the odds were similar to picking a random person, mm-hmm, in the U.S. and having it turn out to be Alan Alda. That is the odds that you're dealing with.
That's, wow.
It's crazy, though. Like, here's the thing, though, that I was thinking. If you wanted that kind of money, why would you come out and tell anybody? I mean, like...
Well, you have to on most of them.
On most of them, you do.
Oh, I thought...
Yeah, most states require the name to be released, because otherwise there could be a lot of gaming the system. Or, you know, they'd worry about... fraud.
I thought you could be anonymous to protect
there
yourself.
Are a couple of states you can, but most states require you to,
I don't know,
to
maybe
if you claim it you have to say who you are.
Wow,
that makes a lot of sense. I mean,
I would not claim it then until got everyone
you needed
secured
the money.
I got everyone secured.
Yeah, well, and then all the relatives come out of the woodwork.
Oh,
and
seriously.
Hey, I'm your fourth cousin once removed. Do you have any money for my yogurt shop that I'm trying to invest in?
I watched one of those shows, the horrors of winning the lottery, mm-hmm, shows, and the one guy who like had his like somebody
kidnapped
in
his son,
so I was like, first I win the lottery, I need to make sure like Sierra's yanked out of public school.
Exactly.
Like, I'm like, nope, no more daycare, nothing. We need to get her into, mm-hmm, a nice secure place.
Yep.
Then it can be announced. Mm-hmm. Like, where? Because I'm
in
like,
a gated community.
Oh, totally.
I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. Suddenly I'm paranoid with the money.
That's
like,
what I was thinking.
Too
I
much
mean,
money.
It's almost like a curse if you win. It's,
yeah.
Know.
Well, they, there's some amazing statistic, like 50% of these people
go broke
within 5 years.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you go broke when you get $200 million?
There's a there's a show called, what, How I Won the Lottery or something like that. Yeah. And there was this guy, his dad won like some like $1 million or something. And his son became his financial advisor.
Oh,
and his son was like, yeah, we'll get you a PlayStation 3 because that's never going to go out of style. And, you know, you'll have the newest Blu-ray player. And after that, he was like, we're going to get this car for you. And he was just blowing his dad's money. And that guy went broke. So.
Well, it's when you start investing in shopping malls and stuff like that. That's where you can really lose the money. Or I've got this get-rich-quick scheme.
God, yeah.
You're already rich. Mm-hmm. Stop getting rich.
Yeah. Perfect example is actually my aunt. She had an accident a while ago. And she got, like, I think, a couple million out of it. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what happened. Maybe she probably still has a little bit of it.
Is she single?
She might be.
Gretchen, we need to talk.
Exactly. Here's the thing. I think she started kind of dwindling some of the money away, you know, investing in different things, and it didn't work out. But then I remember she called me, and this was in like early 2000. She was like, all right, I got to get rich quick scheme. But it was, you want to start a black porno business. I was like, what is wrong with my family? It's just
That's true?
Black porno business?
Yeah, but she wanted it to be on like a true story. She wanted to be like,
was she asking to hire you?
I don't think she was asking to hire me, but she was telling me like some of the like schemes, and I was like, this is crazy.
I heard you say that on stage. I thought it was made up.
No, that was real.
Holy crap.
I've been trying to do a lot more real stuff.
Don't talk to me about that.
Because it sounds more weird.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what was it? The one I was telling Silas. I don't know if you think this is weird, but if you're making out with a girl and all of a sudden in the middle of it, she's like, hey, if I get pregnant, I'm going to keep it. And you're not even to that. Right? Who says that? You're not even like doing anything. I'm like, who the hell says that? So,
yeah. That's the wrong. that just made everything shrivel up right there.
Exactly.
I think that's
Thank
how you get someone to stop.
Yeah.
You must be like, I don't want to say no, but I just want to let him.
Yeah.
Like, what?
She was the cagey, crazy girl who was like, okay, how do I get out of dating this guy?
Exactly. Oh,
well, I once heard that as a joke or to say to somebody when if they said, you don't need to wear a condom, the woman should say, great, because I'm ready to be a mother.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, okay.
I think every guy's dad had that talk with him. He was like, you don't trust any woman that says she's on a pill, you know, and it's just,
yeah.
But, you know, nobody listens.
They didn't have the talk with me.
Oh, yeah.
No, I just knew that my mom was pregnant at 15, so
that
was enough for me to learn.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Lesson learned.
What age were
Living
you when
in
you had,
poverty.
What age were you had, when you had your little one?
My little what?
Your kid.
Big kid, maybe.
She's 5 now, so 33.
Wow. 33. Yeah, see, that's a good age, I feel,
That's when Jesus died.
There you go. So.
Just my life.
Oh, that's funny. What about you, boy? You got any kids?
Nope.
No
kids.
There you go. Like, see,
nope.
Smart man.
Not planning on it.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I feel like I'm too selfish with my time right now to like want to have kids. I don't know.
Well, yeah, certainly right now.
Yeah, true.
You can have Ruben's kid.
He's there. Carry it around on stage. I'm like, hey, everybody don't laugh too loud.
Call you at 10:30. Hey, Manny, you need someone to breastfeed my child. Could you come over?
I got you. Right. I got you. Yeah, man.
Can I feature tomorrow?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. As long as you breastfeed the child. It's rough, though, man. It's like, I don't know, your whole world changes, though. It's not about you anymore.
No. It's hard to listen to some problems.
Yeah.
Like my wife can't listen to me because now I have a job editing. Mm-hmm. I do editing and writing for a company, and so I sit there and I rework sentences and I come home and she's like, "We had a patient die today." I'm like, "Oh, I had a dangling participle."
What does she do?
She's a medical assistant.
Yeah.
My
job is I can never come back, you know, at the end of the day, complain about my job because my wife can trumpet every single time. Oh, really? Did you have somebody throw up on you?
Yeah, exactly.
No. Okay. You had a good day.
You're sitting there at the table. Oh, shit. I forgot to put an apostrophe on.
Right. Yeah. Well, since I write thrillers, we like to say that she saves people for a living and I kill people.
There you go.
So, nice. You know, the yin and yang balances
balance
out.
It
out. It's karma.
So you're I don't know, did we pump out your newest book is the conspiracy,
the Roswell conspiracy,
conspiracy,
the secret weapon,
but it's not new.
No, it came out in July,
but it will be available
on Amazon for free
Wednesday through Friday.
This Wednesday. We'll get this dropped before then. So that'll be good.
Or if you just can't wait. You can buy it now.
That's true. Yeah, definitely. I would recommend buying it because it's always better. You'd appreciate it that much more.
Exactly.
Yes.
You don't feel like you're stealing.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Feeling you get your money's
worth. I don't mind stealing music, but books I feel like I need to pay for some reason.
Now, why is that?
I don't know. I mean, like,
what's the difference?
Just rappers, you know what I mean? If it's a rapper and he's talking about, hey, don't steal my music, he probably stole so much shit growing up. So yeah. I feel like it's just the universe balancing itself out. Yeah. So
that's a wait. What about movies?
I don't steal movies. I always go. Well, I go. Well, see, I have kind of like the barter system with the movie theater across from the parlor. So we always go see movies.
Really?
Yeah, but then they come see free shows and stuff. So it all balances itself out.
The way I feel is, you know, there are libraries. If you want my book for free,
yeah,
go to a library or borrow it from somebody.
Exactly.
You don't need to steal it.
Yeah.
There are other ways to get it for free.
Yeah. That is the weird thing. Like, you can somebody will burn a.
Mm-hmm.
Burn a DVD for somebody, and that's illegal.
I always buy DVDs for some reason, just because I like seeing a library of it all.
Yeah, I just do Netflix.
No, there you go. Yeah, and that's probably the best way to do it. And I really have to like the movie in order to want to, you know.
Yeah,
but so
there are some movies I watch over and over and over.
Yeah, but once you've seen it, it's like, what am I going
to do? It's usually because it's on cable, and I just happen to be
exactly,
and then I get sucked into it again. It's not because I sat. It for some reason it's different sitting down to watch a movie that I've seen before. Mm-hmm. I feel like, kind of feel like I'm actively wasting my time, but
yeah.
If I just run across it,
mm-hmm.
well, then I can justify 5 minutes, and then it turns into an hour.
Yeah.
And pretty soon I've seen the whole movie again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Netflix, though, like, you do have to put effort into it.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas right now I got free HBO and Showtime because of the getting it for, you know, when you have a new account.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm
so
getting
it
free, too.
So that's evil right now because mm-hmm. it's like, oh.
Right? Well,
I don't
right.
know when this will be on again.
Prisoner of Azkaban's
start
on.
Watching
what?
This. And I have TiVo, too, so I can record all these movies right now. I got a big TiVo. I was recording, like, a ton of movies that I wouldn't, that I'm, like, saving up for when they cancel.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to, like, I'll have all these movies to watch.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't watch anything that's not on TiVo anymore.
It's so hard to. I mean, it's like,
Well, I just hate sitting through commercials.
Same here. Like, that's biggest thing.
Well,
it's
that's the TiVo thing.
Yeah. That's why I watch Key and Peele On Demand a lot. So I just fast forward through commercials.
So there's still commercials on demand.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you can fast forward through them, though?
Some of them. I mean, if you're watching, like, X Factor, they won't let you or something.
Really?
I haven't watched X Factor in a while.
Oh, the Porsche.
Yep.
Oh, I was going to ask you when he brought up the optioning in the movie, like...
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you can solicit?
Well, I have a film rights agent.
Nice.
Okay. But so what do they do? Do they send out your book hoping someone will option it? Or
I don't know. I don't know how they do it. He works with my literary agent, and, you know, I did meet with him, and he said one thing that they look for is being able to state the irony of the situation within one sentence. So
what do you mean?
So
your pitch for the
pitch for the movie. There has to be some, you know, the cop who's, you know, actually a drug dealer, you know, that kind of thing. You know, they want some really ironic
lawful
character situation,
yeah, something.
You know, for the firm, you know, Tom Cruise goes
so
to
really
a law firm thinking he's a, you know, upstanding citizen, and then it turns out to be a mob law firm.
So you
need
that,
really,
like,
about the material.
You need that pitchy line that's going to be like at the, you know, like, right. This movie's blah blah blah.
So pitch the what's the Roswell conspiracy?
Well, this probably was why it hasn't sold for movies yet, is because it's harder to pitch the but the way I would pitch it is that the Roswell incident is the key to a weapon that will destroy the U.S. in 7 days unless the hero finds the people behind it and discovers what really happened at Roswell.
I think that sounds great, like, for a movie right there. Like, doesn't that sound
like James Bondish, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's I think of it as a...
How do you pitch
One reviewer called my main character a cross between Indiana Jones and MacGyver.
I like it.
So I'm just thinking, like, well, how would they have pitched? There's no irony in James Bond.
He
happens to be sexy and can save the world.
He's saving the world, but his genitals aren't probably healthy. He sleeps around a lot.
Yeah, so. he's got all kinds of
Is
diseases.
It more like,
he's dying, but yet
hopefully he has super condoms that he's been using.
So if you,
Q,
in your case, it's probably more if you sell enough copies,
yeah,
then they'll be like, oh, well, right, let's pick up this series.
Most books that are made into movies were hit books. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at Hunger Games or Harry mm-hmm. Potter or, you know, any the 50 Shades of Grey. That's going to be made into a movie.
Isn't that crazy?
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. You know,
how do you turn 50 Shades of Grey into a movie that could be seen in a theater?
I don't know. It's
Brokeback Mountain was seen in the theater.
Very true, I guess.
Yeah,
huh?
That's so true. Well, the other problem is all my books would cost about $200 million to make because of all the special effects and stunts that would be required. Well, the arc, in the first 100 pages, I have a plane crash, a helicopter crash, an oil rig that's almost blown up.
Damn.
And a huge gunfight.
How many books have you written total?
I'm working on number 6 now.
Nice.
And number 6 is about Tyler as well.
Yeah.
So is this your plan? Is this your job? Like, is it Tyler is what you're going to be doing?
I don't know. I may choose. I have 2 standalone books that are not in the series, so I may do some more standalone books. Or do another series. I don't really know.
Standalone, is it...
Meaning that they're not tied to any of the other books in any way?
Are they about Tyler? They're about...
No.
Okay, so they're just...
They're just completely...
Okay, different book.
Different stories.
I know... I got a friend who has a friend. Who's he does a series of vampire books.
I'm not big into vampires. It's kind of... I like zombies better.
Yeah, right. I think
have you
zombies,
read World
zombies
War Z? Yeah, that's right. Have you seen the preview for that?
Yeah, but it doesn't look anything like the book.
The book, I hear, is phenomenal.
The book's awesome.
Well, right, the movie sounds like it might be a disaster as far as they've... Like, Brad Pitt hates the director now.
Really?
Like, and there's been... Yeah, like...
Well, they've turned them into fast zombies for the movie.
Yeah.
But in the book, they're slow zombies.
Oh, okay.
And it's a whole... Like, this movie's been pushed back a bunch because...
Yeah, it was supposed to come out in December.
Yeah, it's been filmed. It's done. Like, they're
Yeah, I think
that's usually a danger
scenes,
sign
yeah.
that they have to reshoot stuff. That is great. Are you a Walking Dead fan?
Oh, yeah. Don't tell me anything
about an episode.
The current season because I'm TiVoing it to watch all at once.
How many seasons up there are there? Of the...
Huh?
How many seasons
this
are there?
We're in number... Three.
Okay.
Yeah. But the first season only had 6 episodes.
So so I could catch it on like Netflix or okay.
Yeah, you can get the first 2 seasons on Netflix.
I watched the first 2 I watched the season 2 in I think 5 days.
Wow.
I watched it over cuz I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is great, great."
Have you seen Looper?
No.
Oh, that was good.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that was the one you were confused by, right?
No, it was good. I'm a huge like time travel person, so I was like none of that would have happened because I don't want to run.
That's not realistic.
You don't think that paradoxes.
Well, I mean, it's like, okay, without ruining the movie, if there's a future version of yourself that's causing all this chaos in the past, right?
Yeah.
But you kill, like, the present version of them.
Right.
You know, in the past as well, then he never had the time to come back
to
the past and cause all that chaos.
Well, that's quantum theory, the physics. You've created new timelines, right?
Yeah.
So okay, so.
Could you be in a new dimension?
Right.
Okay, so there's that. I mean.
Well, there's, I mean.
That's the only thing, the only way I could see time travel working is if you go back in time, you go to a different universe.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
So at the time that you go back in time,
it
immediately branches off into a new universe and a new timeline.
And that makes sense, especially for the Trek universe also, I mean, because you had...
Right, the one still exists, but then, which would mean there's could be thousands
of... Oh, yeah, well, there's the mirror universe, where they're all evil.
Yeah, everything's
and then
backwards.
The universe with Tasha Yar is a...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Goes back, or the Federation's at war with the Klingons.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your favorite time travel movie?
You know, growing up, it was Time Cop. With Van Damme. I don't know why. I used to love that movie. Did you ever see that? I was a huge Van Damme fan.
I think the name, that's where, you know, Star Power?
Yeah.
He's like an anti-Star Power. Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but it was so cool because he went back in the past to go, like, you know, try to stop things from happening. But, I don't know, that was my first real time travel movie. I think after that, I mean... Looper was cool. I'm trying to think of it. Well, Back to the Future. There you go.
Yeah.
Back to the Future was
that's the classic.
The classic.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would call it a time travel movie, but Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. God, Bill Murray.
He doesn't really... He goes back in time, but nobody else does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a mashup.
Yeah. Where he's sitting in the diner just stuffing his face full.
Yeah. I'm not the god. Yeah, I'm just a god.
Best quote ever.
This isn't time travel. It's actually more alternate dimensions. But alternate dimensions is what I love.
Mm-hmm.
And like Sliders was one of my favorite shows.
Do you remember that show?
You need to Netflix that show.
That's a great show. The first three seasons of that is wonderful.
The last one was horrible.
What was it? What was his name?
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah, Jerry O'Connell, man. He was great.
Yeah.
But then they like brought his brother in afterwards
or
something.
Well, that's when it started sucking.
Yeah.
But the first three seasons of that was just incredible science fiction.
There was an episode, because, you know, every universe is a little different. There was one where women were in power, you know, and like men, there was never a man president. There was, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then one of them runs and I think he finally gets elected and it's just a huge movement for the men and it's crazy, right?
That's right. Well, that's the first season was very...
Do men get pregnant in that?
Maybe. You
know, there was one where men got pregnant.
Yeah, like,
really?
Yeah.
There was one where everybody had to be naked. You couldn't wear clothes or else it was illegal.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How did they film that
That's
episode?
What I was wondering. I never saw that episode, but I saw like the preview for next week and I was like, damn it, how did I miss that?
They just landed in the... They landed there.
Oh, and then they left?
And then they left?
Some of you never see... Well, some of you never see more than a few, like, or they just got out of that world, or it's the next one, and then it's like, ooh, and then it's like a funny ending.
Are they sure they just didn't end up on a beach in Greece?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Where, exactly. No, because they can only... They can only... In the first episode, they can only land within, like, 5 miles of the same point.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they were always arriving in San Francisco, just at different
times. So they were trying to get back to their... own universe.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know which came first then, that show or the episode of the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror where
Sliders was first.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so that must have been where the Simpsons episode came, where he keeps coming back and Flanders is, you know, Lord and Master of the universe. And
such, I love the Simpsons. You know, it was a great thing on Sliders. Remember, like, I think he finally made it home, and then he opened that gate, but it didn't squeak.
Oh, right, right. So it didn't squeak, and so he didn't think, because his home, he never fixed the fence, and so the fence was always squeaking. His mother had always told him, and so he would every episode he would that they landed there, that would be like
the test.
They were testing that when he went there, and then they finally were told that they had the right coordinates. They went there, and they're like, they only had a minute until the next window opened, or else you're stuck there for like 27 years.
Wow.
So they had to like, well, we got to decide, is this the one that we're gonna stay at? And they went up to the thing and they moved it and it was clean, and they're like, crap. So they knew they had to keep going on their journey, and so they jumped in, and then the mother walks out with the handyman. It's like, well, thanks for fixing the fence.
Man. Well, you'd think half of the universes would have a squeaky one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's exactly. And they mentioned that, people mentioned that. It's like, well, we think it was home.
Yeah.
Prime, because the guy was smart who had set it up to go back, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and some were like, everything seemed exactly the same, even that they had been missing for so long. And this was like one of their early episodes. This was at the end of the 2-hour pilot, I think.
Yeah.
And then they're sent down to dinner. And then his dad walks in.
And his dad was dead.
His dad
right?
was dead.
Yeah.
Dead, and they're like, and so they're like, crap. They realize, that's when they realize that they're trapped in this cycle that they're going to go on.
It's crappy.
I love that series so much. That was like one of my favorite series.
Good idea.
Man. And I love Armageddon movies.
What was your favorite Armageddon movie?
Well, it's got to be... Well, I love the level of just it's horrible movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like The Day After Tomorrow. That is so awful.
He has a great joke about Armageddon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I can't put it on the air.
Yeah, he won't.
No.
somebody will steal it.
It's too gold.
Yeah.
I liked 2012 go see him. Was go awful. See him that was
so you like the awful.
Oh, it's got to be so awful.
Oh, okay.
Like the extreme.
Yeah, well,
awful.
2012.
That was like the worst.
Yeah, as
movie.
An engineer, I had a lot of problems with that movie. At the
driving
end,
through buildings to escape them. While
well, if he drove through the windows, technically he could do it. But the idea at the very end. Mm-hmm. Where they couldn't start the engines unless the door on the back of the ship was closed. Who in their right mind would design it to work that way?
It's a failsafe.
Because you don't want the boat moving with the door open. Yeah. I mean,
because the water will get in. What if it just starts?
Right. It was so great failsafe plan.
How many times did they escape death in that movie? Like,
well, I counted the three times they were in an airplane taking off from a runway that was cracking behind them. Three times in the same movie. You know, you think you could get away with it once or the twice one that, at the most.
Y'all only have 23 days, so you better be watching these movies and getting prepared.
Yeah, exactly right. The countdown. I thought it was the 21st, right?
Yeah, so what? In 23 days, it'll all be...
Oh, okay.
Right?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So I guess
we'll be on an island.
All right. Fair enough. Man, that would suck.
Yeah.
Well,
or everything will be
there goes our podcast.
Yep. Thank you for listening to the final episode.
I'm honored to be here.
Yes.
This will be broadcast out into space for the next billion years.
Aliens are going to be like, they were weird. Boyd was normal, but the other two. So, Boyd, what's your favorite Armageddon movie?
Gosh. My favorite Armageddon movie. I'm trying to think what my choices are. End of the World. I liked 28 Days Later was pretty scary.
I still have never seen that.
Yeah, that was scary. I just saw that one night. I was creepy. I was hard to go to sleep after that. That was honestly one of the...
Yeah.
That was a messed up movie.
Yeah.
Fast zombies, too.
Really?
Yeah, fast zombies. Ooh. And they're not really zombies, technically.
They're just sick.
They're just people infected with this rage virus.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And their only goal is to infect everybody else.
Ooh.
And it's pretty creepy.
That's
in
scary.
Places. I don't know. If you can rattle off other Armageddon movies.
Land Before Time, 1 through...
Land Before Time.
Littlefoot almost dies.
Every cowboy and Indian movie.
Exactly. Let's see, there was Independence Day, right? Kind of a...
For its time,
it was good, I think.
Yeah.
I want to see Book of Eli. I didn't watch that one.
Book of Eli.
That was with Denzel Washington.
Yeah. Well, those aren't Armageddon. I like post-apocalyptic.
Okay.
Post-apocalyptic movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That changes it up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. What was
Will
Smith's movie?
Well, Mad Max.
I feel like that could have been done
better.
I
didn't like I Am Legend.
Yeah, neither did I.
The zombies looked awful.
Yeah.
Well, in the book,
the special effects were terrible.
In the book, it's vampires?
Yeah.
It's really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it totally changed the message of the entire story. Because in the book... At the end, he realizes that these vampires that he's been trying to kill are actually a new race of humans. And he is the guy who's seen as the evil person by all the survivors.
Mm.
And that's why it's called I Am Legend, because he is the legend of all of these, these new humans.
Yeah,
that would have been a better
movie.
Yeah.
God, that's crazy. They're making a part two to that, they were saying. I don't know
part
how.
Two.
Yeah. So they were talking about trying to make a part two, but they were going to like change the ending where they were going to go with the one where he lives.
Well, they just put that on the DVD.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I guess you could go that way, but it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just leave the movie alone. It was horrible.
I mean, the first half of the movie was really creepy.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it just fell off.
Yeah, when he was hitting on that mannequin.
Does that scare you then? Though, like, the idea that someone would buy your movie and then just screw it up, like change it?
There's really nothing you can do.
But I mean, does that scare? Do you even care? Or are you like, as long as I get
the
money?
Well, I would love it to be a good movie,
right?
The only thing you can choose is who buys your movie.
Mm.
So I would prefer to sell it to somebody like J.J. Abrams or Steven Spielberg.
Oh, there you go.
But you know, if Michael Bay wanted to pay me a buttload of money, I probably wouldn't turn it down.
Yeah, see, that's tough. I mean. Somebody offers you, they're like, hey, here's $20 million. We're going to just...
I don't think it's going to be that much.
No, I mean, like, they're like, we really want this movie, and we'll do whatever.
Yeah,
bidding war. Maybe Black and a Half.
Yes.
We'll create a bidding war.
Yes.
People will be like, we got to check
out
this.
You hear that out there, producers? And,
we got to check this out.
Exactly.
New franchise,
man.
That's what they're looking for.
Totally, right? I mean, you just, like, if anybody just takes it on a whim and are like, hey, you know, there's something new out there.
Tyler
Perry
Tyler's
does it.
Black. Tyler sounds black.
What if Tyler Perry bought your movie?
Well, he could actually play Grant, the professional wrestler.
There you go.
He can also play.
He's black.
Nice. Okay.
He can play the woman too.
Oh shit! If this
that's
movie gets,
true. That's he Tyler can play Perry's, all the characters.
He's a versatile actor.
He could be like Eddie Murphy from Coming to America.
Right.
He can just play every character.
He's like a man.
Randy Watson.
Sexual chocolate.
God, that's how last night felt. We did a show at in Kirkland, and the whole crowd was there based off like Groupon deals.
Oh,
nobody
yeah.
laughed the whole time.
Those are the worst.
So like the first, the host goes up, our buddy Aaron Kirby, and you know just does a quick set. Nobody's really feeling it. Next guy goes up, nobody laughs. Chris Rodriguez goes up, and they're kind of like, sort of. I guess they laugh a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Then I go up, and I feel like maybe they laugh twice, maybe three times. And then I was like,
did you record your set?
Nope.
You should have recorded it.
I just was like, I don't know. I just wanted to get up there and just do some kind of new stuff, but whatever.
You did change a couple things.
Well,
your delivery on a couple I noticed was like.
He hasn't done it that
you
way.
Said, well, you said, I remember you going, all right, I guess you guys aren't into that. And I was like, well, you actually didn't deliver it like you normally do. And it didn't land.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't hit the joke as well.
It was just one of those crowds where I was like, you know what? They already aren't laughing. I don't even want to show. I mean, they laughed like the
comics
first couple
get
jokes.
So mad at,
I know,
the audience for not laughing at
them. Yeah, but I've done plenty of comedies. And, you know, some days you just have an audience that's really quiet. Yeah.
Comics
you don't
take
know
it so personal
why.
Because they wrote it. And they're like, well,
you know, it's funny. I walked away from that, though, and I was like, that's all on me. I put the total blame on me. I didn't blame the audience. Anytime
you're still
I
still angry at them, right?
No, not at all. Like, I was like, these guys came out on a Friday night. Apparently, they wanted to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted to laugh at some point. So I was just like, well, laughter's infectious. If maybe a couple of people were laughing, then maybe the rest of them. But I was still like, if I can't get them on my side, then that's all on me. I was like, that's just my material.
Yeah, but at least
tonight.
It's only that one night.
Yeah.
Know? For a writer, somebody doesn't like your book. It's on Amazon forever.
Yeah. It's I think the hardest part for me though last night was like, okay, the night before I did the JB Smooth show.
Oh.
5 minutes and you know, it's just like roars
destroy,
of laughter, right?
Yeah.
People are like,
yeah, so it's
girls
not
are
you,
coming up
it's
to me.
Just the audience.
There was a bachelorette party, they were like, we wanted to see you more. We thought you should have like done this and I'm like, oh well maybe I'm
did you open for him or?
Yeah, I just did like a quick five and then his feature went up. But after that, you know, you go over to this bar and I'm like, I'm gonna just destroy this show too and then I'll get up there.
There's nothing.
Okay, I think comedy is even worse to me than theater from downgrading that I've done before. Was like the fact that I was like, I got to go perform at Snoqualmie Casino, the 300 people, this place, it was this big event.
Wow.
And then the next night I was in this little dive gay bar of nobody who wants to listen to comedy at all.
That's how
it
always
like,
is.
And I was like, oh.
I'll try doing a book signing somewhere.
Oh,
I can only
where
imagine.
Where you show up and there's one person.
Oh.
Yeah.
God.
That has definitely happened to me.
Man.
I've shown up where there's no people.
Jeez.
It's me and the bookstore owners. That's it. Yeah. When I had the talent agent, I booked like four jobs within the first month that I had her. And then the next year, didn't book anything.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's. It can be feast or famine. And that's why I like doing shows at Driftwood, because they usually get good audiences. I mean, I did a show there this summer called No Sex, Please, We're British, and we sold out almost every show. And, you know, when you get 200 people in the audience in a comedy, you usually are going to get enough people in there to laugh.
Yeah. It's interesting even watching some of the bigger names, right? Like, say, for instance, Cuba Gooding Jr. He was huge for a long time, you know, and then all of a sudden I guess he got too big. As far as his ego.
I think he started choosing really bad projects.
True. Yeah. But
he probably was chasing the money.
I think so, too. And who was it? Like, I guess he said something about Will Smith came in and just kind of took it over. And so he didn't get all the roles that he was expecting to get. So.
Oh.
Yeah. But I think, I think also ego can get into it.
Very true.
You don't want to take the supporting role. You're the lead guy now. Why should you take that?
Did you guys hear about, who was it? Will Smith was supposed to play Neo in The Matrix?
Yep.
Isn't that crazy? Ugh.
Yeah, there's all kinds of, you know, Tom Selleck was supposed to be Indiana Jones.
Wow. Russell Crowe was supposed to be Wolverine in X-Men.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know how that would have worked.
Hey, so Audible.com, pick up the Roswell Conspiracy.
Yes.
We got a couple things to promote as well. So actually on December 20th, Thirsty Third Thursdays and Laughs in Shoreline, Daryl's Tavern. Instead of... The name has changed for the night because it's going to be a fundraiser for a local children's organization.
Big lineup.
A bunch of headliners out there. So it's called Jingle Bell Laughs, brought to you by the Northwest Comedy Network. .com. Got Dwayne Goad on the – Dwayne Goad, Emmett Montgomery.
Jay Hollingsworth.
Manny Martin.
Be there.
Becca Berry.
Yep.
Chris Rodriguez.
Yep.
Am I missing somebody? I feel like I'm missing the big old name.
Yeah. Well, you can read about it on Silas's site.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then late January, Manny and I'll
be producing,
putting on a show.
Yep. Most Wanted.
Comedy's Most Wanted.
Comedy's
at
Most
the
Wanted.
Part of the live.
Yep.
It'll be exciting. And pick up Boyd's book.
Yes.
Audible.com.
And if
Amazon.
You are out there listening and you are a Hollywood producer, make sure you pick up that movie because I could actually possibly play the role of one of the characters.
Yeah, you could definitely play
That's what I'm saying. I could get big. I could be a wrestler.
Yep.
I could come back. I could save the world. That's all I want to do. Just want to chase my dreams. All right, that's too much of a pitch.
Work it harder.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell him.
Please, God, if you were listening out there, I need an acting job. They canceled my last movie. So.
What?
They did. It's crazy.
What happened?
Legal stuff. Not me. No, it's just
they
like,
canceled it.
Well, like
you
so,
filmed
yeah.
it and then it's
no.
Not
well,
out.
Actually, okay. So this is the second movie that's been canceled.
Wait, is this the one you just got booked on?
Just the one I got booked on.
They said, "Hey, we'll give you $200. I never met you."
Yeah. So and they were gonna pay food and everything else. It was by
illegal.
So they couldn't get their legal stuff together and they couldn't get their budgeting together. So both departments were fighting about whatever it was, and so it fell through. And then so that was one of them. And then there was also the 1 minute comic that I had a small role in. And then that one fell through. I think it's, they're still.
I've seen
working
the trailer
on
for that. I yeah, just yeah. never didn't know if it was a real. I thought that was actually a fake. I thought it was a trailer for a fake movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I didn't know it was actually being filmed.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, about half the stuff I've ever filmed never mm-hmm. actually ended up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
As a complete film,
I have a buddy.
People just get bored, or you it, know, they don't actually finish filming it, or something. Yeah. You know, so you film your scenes, right. and then you don't know what happens with it.
Exactly. I mean,
can we
like
do a Black and the Half movie.
We should. Like the story of Silas Lindenstein and Manny Martin. It's like, you know, Adam
Two
Wright,
men
right?
with dreams. Both of them lazy.
Exactly. That's all we are. You know Adam Ray, right?
Of him.
Yeah, okay. So Adam, he said he's done movie after movie and, you know, shoot after shoot. And, you know, he was like, so many things have been canceled and never happened. That, like his newest movie that's coming out with Sandra Bullock, he was like, I didn't even think that that was really going to come to fruition. But it's coming out. So, I mean, I guess you just got to put enough up there and hope one sticks. So,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, if you look at the IMDb's of, you know, any mm-hmm. of these actors, there's like 15 things before the first thing you've ever heard of them
exactly.
being in.
So you know, just keep...
Man on Subway, you
yeah,
know.
Exactly.
That sounds like a porn.
Man on Subway. You like Man on Subway porn?
We know
one man, one Subway.
Two bitches. No, I'm just like, I don't know. You know,
Manny hadn't said bitches yet.
Yeah, I just had to throw that
I
in
think
there.
He was upset the boys was the only one who said bitch yet.
Yeah. I had to throw my quota in there. So.
Black and a half?
Black and a half. Ready for action, nip it in the bud. We never relax, and an outcast is everlasting. Not-